heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, all eyes are on election 2020. Again, like all of these elections, it seems like it's slow at first and then it's, you know, warp speed ahead, right? And that's where we're at right now. It is warp speed ahead till November 3rd. People are anxious, for a lot of reasons, and we're seeing this play out yet. You know, in a general election, a presidential election, you've got a lot of things to consider. One is the White House, but more than that, as you've seen from the past couple of years, you kind of can't do it all from just one branch of government. You need Congress as well. You need the House and Senate to really be able to impact policy and make change in people's lives. You need all of that. And so that's important here as we continue on with this incredible race. Now, President Trump, as you know, calls this transition to greatness. It is hashtag election 2020. One of the things I want to talk about, we have talked about, you know, is the state of California. It's a big audience. It's a big deal. I know a lot of people in the country have turned that channel off, figuring that, or have chalked it up to the loss because they say they're too far gone or something, which is really nonsense, of course. You know, we've had people like Buzz Patterson on and Eric Early, and we've had a series of people on from California, representatives out there. And people who are trying, there are some good people really trying to take this back, but it's a strange politics out there, actually. And it goes to our message here. When you talk about quality of life, you have to begin to question yourself as to, you know, why don't the voters see that? I mean, what kind of a life are they looking for? It really does rattle the mind as you think about these local races as to why they sometimes go, like these mayors we talk about all the time and some of the governors, where they go to the left, to the socialist left. You do begin to question things as to what are the voters seeing that maybe you and I are not seeing, you know? And that's what we have to appeal to. And I can't tell you any more than I'll say it right now again. Please invite moderates, independents, just left of center, those JFK Democrats, of course, to America Out Loud, please. Invite them to our network, to our right here. Invite them to my show, The Voice of a Nation, here for sure. We need to appeal to those people. We need to appeal to those that are in that middle aisle in America if we're going to do this thing. And you have to know that these people are worried about quality of life as well. They're worried about their families and they're worried about their businesses. And of course they are, just like you and I are. So we have to appeal to the best policies for these people as well. So let's do this here. As we talk today here, I've got someone we've talked about before getting together. It's the first time we've talked, but we have discussed it before. And Erin Cruz will join us. And she's running for the House in District 36 there in California. And Erin is a native Californian, by the way, just out that area. She calls herself a Tea Party Republican and a classical constitutional conservative with the ability to transcend traditional party lines. And that says a lot here. Let me bring her on now, Erin. The way you position yourself, first of all, and you don't see a lot of people saying this, but, you know, you say Tea Party Republican, classical, constitutional conservative. But then you say the ability to transcend traditional party lines. That's not easy to do today at all, because the party lines are, first of all, it's very divisive. I mean, you're either sort of socialist left over here, or you are still in a conservative tank over here. It's real hard to blend all that or transcend that. How do you do that today?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate the invite, and thank you to all your listeners for reaching out to California and doing so with an open heart. I know you have a lot of West Coasters on, but, you know, I think you mentioned it best, is that you open the door. You were inviting, I just heard you inviting in, you know, the centrists, the non-radicals, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we have to do right now in America. And that's what I've been doing. How do you transcend party party lines, you have to be open for conversation. You have to be willing to listen to all perspectives. And I think part of that is going with the, if you want to call it Reagan 80-20 rule. We talk about that a lot in our campaign here. It's, we need to come together on 80%. And you know, the things that we can agree on and set aside the 20%. We cannot be one issue voters anymore. We're watching our country move in a direction that's just simply unsustainable. And I believe that coronavirus or COVID-19 has brought us to the point where we're now looking at the basics of everyday living. I want to go to work. I want to have a job. I want to have a roof over my head. I want to have food on my table. My children need to have clothes on their back. This is the kind of position that most Americans are looking at, the sustainability of just everyday life. And I think that that also, too, has brought us to the point where that this conversation that transcends party lines is much easier because we're looking at things on much more of a basic level. And I think communicating with one another more clearly. And again, I'm not talking about the radicals. I'm talking about everyday Americans who are just seeing, you know, I'm not liking the direction that things are going.
Let me talk a minute about the 80-20. I like what you bring up there, the 80-20. Now, what's interesting about that to me is this. I find a lot of people today, they sort of lead with the 20%, the most divisive policies or programs. In other words, I find that people are at each other's throats out there. And they
by design. I'm just going to interrupt. I believe that's by design by the politicians and the media and the powers that be. Division brings in a lot of money for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, again, they lead right with that divisiveness, the 20%. Now, you know, I think about it in the terms of what you just said, Erin, and I remember in the corporate boardroom, it's the same thing as selling or being a great executive. You would always lead with common ground, the commonality, because it's easier to bridge a conversation with somebody when you lead with the commonality. What connects us as a people before you get to the point of what divides us as a people? And you know, that's just a basic selling point we used to use in the corporate boardrooms all the time. That kind of works really well in politics. Is that your strategy?
Well, I think that's part of what's brought us to a lot of success in the district and with the people, because, you know, there is that divisiveness that's been there, and it's so hostile. And I don't know if you know, but aside from the top issues that the media brings up today and the politicians from, you know, be it the House or the Senate, that they're arguing on, be it immigration or funding the government, you know, at certain points of time throughout the year, they vote on bills every day that people just don't even know about. So the question is what decisions are being made every day across the line for everyone by the representation, but is never talked about? They always bring up the divisive nature of politics.
Well, let me tell you why that is. Let me tell you why that is, because bad news sells, by the way, and the media loves bad news, and political leaders even like bad news. So that's why.
And the busyness of it all. So they keep the people busy, focused on the divisive issues, distracted. And I think that I believe that we have to move past that. And we need representation at least in my district, we need representation where we have somebody speaking about what's going on up in D.C., actually being voted on.
All right. Before we get to the I want to talk about the 36th district in just a moment. But let me start here. You have a pinned tweet that you have, and you put it right out, said, "I need your support. Help me get to D.C. to fight for you." But what I really want to talk about here, you reference California values. Now, let me talk about this. This is a very interesting point to me when you say, "I want to get to D.C. and I want to fight for you and for California values." Now, take a moment here. This is serious. When you look at the state, you look at how far blue it has gone. You see how far socialist it has gone to the, I mean, extreme far left in their representation across the state, high, low, up and down statewide is very deep, deep blue. So when we talk about California values, I'm curious, as I think most listeners are, Erin, what what are California values? Because we don't really
well,
know.
Well, I think what you're talking about is the political elite, those people who are in power. We do have a large, a very large and expansive blue voting base here. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but we also have the no party preference, which is larger now than the Republican Party here in California. And then we have the Republican Party coming in third in terms of, you know, the party voting base. But here's the thing is that there are so many people that I had just mentioned earlier, people need to get involved. The faith vote, evangelicals, all of these individuals, they have to register. They have to register and then they need to vote. We have what you had mentioned earlier, the silent majority. And I believe there are a lot of Californians that hold strong family values. In my district, there are approximately 49% Hispanic or Hispanic related constituents. And we have a huge Catholic population. So the question is I think it's not so much about the people and their values. It's just maybe more about the way and direction in which they're voting. And I do believe that the church has a large role in this, that in California, it's become trendy to have, you know, a church that's just lukewarm and not really preaching the way I believe that the pastor should preach and leading the sheep and this sort of thing as, you know, the shepherds within the church. And this is one area where I believe that we can make a big impact. And when you talk about California values, again, I'm going to go back to what you stated. What you're seeing is the leadership. The leadership are radical for the most part, especially when it comes to our legislature here in California and the governor, obviously. But the people, I think the people are not really getting the information they need to be able to make the decision at the ballot box. And I'm going to tell you that I believe that this year we're going to see a huge shift.
Wow.
And I believe that because I've talked to, and I live in one of the most liberal places in the 36th congressional district, and I've talked to a lot of Democrats who are voting Trump, who are, you know, fed up that they've never registered to vote. They've always leaned in the Democrat direction in terms of their politics and what they believe in, but they've never voted and now they're going to vote, but they're voting Republican.
You're saying those people you believe are seeing the light.
Seeing the light. And they're seeing it because here's the thing, it's got to hit the population's pocketbook.
Right. Okay, that's right.
When it hits their pocketbook,
that's right.
Things start to change.
well, yeah, you know? I mean, and when your governor keeps the state locked down and people can't earn a living, which we'll talk about in a moment here, that would certainly hit your pocketbook.
And
it would
hit a lot more. And also, my congressional representative has been pushing to keep our county shut down, his recommendations to
the Board
of Supervisors.
Oh, you're talking about Ruiz is doing that? He's trying to do that?
Yeah. He's been pushing, you know, the Board of Supervisors, his recommendation has been on the TV almost every night, pushing keeping the county and
why closed, do you think he wants to keep it closed? What's really behind that, please? Why does Ruiz want to keep that district closed? Why?
Well, you know, I think that there is some sort of agenda behind the fact that they want to keep the district closed. Part of it is if we can talk to one another and we share what's really going on or has happened since March and April and May with the coronavirus. Now, President Trump did a great job by shutting off some travel with China and doing what he could, but the Congress was very slow to do anything at all. And then in terms of the funding and the stimulus and other issues, I mean, it could very well come out that if we open up and we speak to one another and we find out what's going on in every city and people get together at churches and pubs or, you know, other social gathering places, libraries, that we might have a very serious conversation and they wouldn't might lose their jobs. They would definitely lose their jobs. jobs on the radical left
side of things. So you're convinced part of that reason is they, it's like the status quo. If they keep it all locked down, people are not communicating. But also there's another point probably that I think I'm detecting with a lot of politicians out there, Aaron, and it's the fear factor. One of the things I've noticed across our country, actually, is there's a lot of fear out there, and a lot of politicians are playing to that fear. They want people to be in fear, it seems to me, yeah?
Well, and the other goal would be, if you know what I call him is Radical Ruiz's background, he's deep ties to Marxist organization, Workers World, back in the 90s. We're talking very, very radical. There was a full assault he did on Plymouth Rock. He was arrested. Charges were dropped. I mean, this guy, he may have a cute little baby face and a nice smile and a suit and go to Harvard, and have advanced degrees, but he is not a nice guy. And he does believe in the Marxist way, if you will. And part of that is flipping the way we do things here, in, not just in California, but across the country. And part of that is accomplished through fear, through reliance on government. Seeing a lot of these shifts in policy. I mean, we just looked at here in California, we have what's called AB5. It killed a lot of jobs like Uber, Lyft, and that sort of thing. Well, Raul Ruiz voted yes on the PRO Act. I don't know if you heard about the PRO Act, but it's a federal version of AB5. It will kill a lot of jobs, and Biden is absolutely 100% for it. It'll clean out a lot of the freelance work and gig worker jobs and everything else. So this is one of Ruiz's backgrounds, deep ties to those Marxist organizations. And I think we can't ignore that.
Do you have a pet name for him?
And otherwise are for that direction.
What's his name? What's his pet name you have for him?
Radical Ruiz.
That's it. Should be it. That would be a natural Radical.
Radical Ruiz.
Absolutely.
He's radical.
Yeah, that's what I would continue to call him. Yeah. All right, let me ask you here, but you mentioned, let's talk about these three groups. You mentioned no party preference. So when we look at Democrats over here to this side, we look at no party preference here in the middle, we look at Republicans here. What is the shape of, what percentage roughly are we talking about in the state with Democrats, no party, and Republicans? Any
idea? Well, you're looking at almost 8 million Democrats, just over 4.5. Well, I didn't look at the numbers on this last quarter, but about 4.5 million no party preference, and just under 4.5 million are about their Republicans.
Okay, so but there's more no party preferences than there are Republicans.
Yes, there are. And for example, in California, I believe the numbers on one of the different research pieces we did for this race is about 140,000 Democrats, about 109,000 Republicans voted, and we have 70,000 no party preference and 12,000 independent libertarian, and that's other parties. So we have a lot to bring over, we have to be talking the 80-20. Let's come together on what we can agree on and get to work for the people, for all of the people, because that's something we're missing in this district.
Why
as well.
Would people refer to themselves as no party preference? I mean, obviously, this is an independent, obviously, but that means their principles don't align with either party. Is that what we're saying?
I think that we've seen the shift here in the state of California that they just aren't happy with the Democrats. They're just maybe not happy with the Republican, and they want to do the no party preference. And we have what's called the top two, for example, on our congressional seats. So it's a jungle primary. So pretty much you could have five or six people running in an election, and you aren't running Republican against Republican or Democrat against Democrat in a partisan primary. You're running everybody in one big pool against one another, and the top two win. It's a different different setup here in California.
When you're out in the public space there as a citizen, think about this a moment here. Do you get a sense at all? And I'm just wondering, with what you just said, are do you think sometimes, like this no party preference thing, do you think some people don't want to say they're a Republican or embarrassed to put that out there because the state is so overwhelming deep blue? Do you ever get the feeling that some people don't want to put that out there in the public light?
Well, I think especially now, what I'm seeing a lot and what I'm hearing a lot is people are afraid in some areas, depending on where they live at, mm-hmm. to even state that they're for President Trump or that they're Republican. But folks need to remember that if you're afraid of stating that you're a certain political party or a certain preference politically, that's too far. We've gone too far. We've already lost. If you really, truly believe that, we've already lost far too much. And it's time to get bold. It's time to stand firm. It's time to come out and say, I'm for strong family values. I'm for public safety. I'm for law and order. You know, I believe that, you know, pastors need to be telling their congregations the truth about certain issues mm-hmm. and talking to them about the issues that people are facing today. I'm for these things, because otherwise, mm-hmm. if you really truly believe that we are at the point where we cannot have a sign in our yard will be vandalized, or our homes will be vandalized, or we be scared for our safety,
right.
I mean, really think about that.
Yeah.
And in California, that is a reality for many people. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'm speaking to your listeners right now, is that really, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter if you're in California or not. It now is the time to be bold. Don't let this fear get any more deep inset, because our country is too far gone if this is how we're thinking already. We need to be bold. Now is our time, and we can't let it go on any longer.
We need to be bold. Yeah. We're speaking to Erin Cruz. Now she is running for the House in District 36 in California. And her website, by the way, is Erin Cruz, CRUZ.org. You can find out more there. And we'll talk more about the whole race and District 36 and all of that. But you've got to like her message there, that she just says we have to be bold and stand up for something. So when we talk about, you know, I mentioned to her, or asked her moments ago here, California values. You do have to really look at that. You've got to look at American values as well. What are those? I think where California is having a lot of challenges is defining those values. What are California values? And I say that because you see the crime escalation, you see the homelessness escalation, you see the sanctuary cities and the sanctuary state mentality. And you see all of these things that are policies that are not for, I mean, you could argue this, but not really for a civilized society. I mean, there are a lot of people fight on that point, or believe that America should be a doormat to anybody who wants a seat at the table. It really is. It's a question that will shape, well, our nation in the future, for sure. And it will absolutely shape California. You know, if California is in the front of a lot of these values, and these are the kinds of things that are going to potentially sweep across the nation, well, I think at that point there, people need to pay attention as to what's happening out there, because you're seeing really the decimation of the quality of life. And a lot of people, the real trick of this whole thing is going to be what Erin just talks about, that no party preference, and those people who don't really align with either, they think, but they are worried about their safety and security and their families and their business opportunities, things of this nature. And potentially they don't want a socialist country here. That's really the way you have to look at that. So there's something about defining those values. And I think the more that someone like Erin can get to the people and say, okay, what are our values? What are California values? Let's talk about what those values are and how we bridge the gap and come together as a people, because it really does come back to we the people. I mean, we could talk all day long about the hierarchy of politics, but grassroots and people and connecting with those people is really going to be the key. Of course, in an era now of COVID, I mean, that's changed a lot of times too, door knocking and shaking hands and that sort of thing. Now you've got a fist bump, or actually even worse than that, you got an elbow pump or something like that, or just nod or shake your leg or whatever it's got to be. You know, it's hard to say what the new mode of greeting somebody will be in America for sure here. We're going to take a pause. Be back with Aaron Cruz, again, running for the House, District 36 in California. We'll be back with more Voice of a Nation just after the pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Well, one thing for sure is we started in this whole COVID thing back early in the year with a flatten the curve. There was this whole flatten the curve coming through this COVID episode. Now, the problem is a lot of people would suggest at this point, and yours truly here, that COVID-19, the coronavirus, and more so the China virus, as President Trump would affectionately call it, or not, is that this thing has been weaponized. It is a political tool that is being used from all kinds of people. And you kind of seen this coming. This was in an election year, remember? You sort of seen this coming just as we got into January and February. But we were asked to flatten the curve. That was the whole mode of operation here for 2 weeks. We were going to lock down, just suck it up, big boy. 2 weeks, you know, deal with it. Grin and bear it, right, as they say, and then we'll get up over this hurdle and, you know, we'll be okay. We just want to flatten the curve. And the biggest reason they were going to flatten the curve, I just want to remind you all out there, was that they didn't want to overwhelm the hospitals. Do you remember that by chance? You know how far we've come from that now, right? I mean, they just didn't want to overwhelm the hospitals and the ER, the OR kind of services, the ER emergency services, you know, in the hospitals. Wanted to keep this thing in check. And that was the whole thing, to flatten the curve. And then we'll be okay. It was a couple of weeks, it was suggested. Wow, wow, wow. Even to this day now, all this time later now, as we now climb closer to the election here, guess what? Well, they're not only flattening the curve, but they're flattening Americans. They're flattening their pocketbooks, their wallets, their livelihoods, their retirements, their businesses, their opportunities. They have flattened everybody. They've decimated the whole program here as people are being locked down, and they're still not opening things up. Which brings me to the point, let's bring on Aaron Cruz again, running for the House District in 36 in California here. And Aaron, you have out here... you had a tweet out here. We need to reopen all of California now. And you're getting all kinds
yes,
of things.
Yes, we need to reopen all of California now.
What's going on? Why ain't we?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, we were talking about radical Raul Ruiz, and this is something really interesting. The 14 days flatten the curve. We don't want to overwhelm the medical system. Ruiz is a doctor, a physician, as you know. This may seem a little bit outstretched for some of your listeners, but we need to talk a little bit of truth right now. At the beginning of the coronavirus, COVID-19, we all didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know what was coming at us. And frankly, I think that President Trump did a great job, like I mentioned earlier. Fine, flatten the curve. Take your 14 days. After that, what was planned? There's something planned, and I'll tell you, Radical Raul Ruiz helped usher in the opening of a field hospital in Riverside County. I believe it's on our fairgrounds. This is in March. The field hospital is still there. Military are still running it. It's still open, and it's planned to stay open through at least our date festival, which has been canceled in the district. And that's in, I believe, mid-February. And of 2021, folks, listen to this. The field hospital is open. It hasn't seen one patient.
Wow.
Yet our hospital has been shut down in large part to major needs of the district, people who need to have actual everyday care, and is losing money. They're talking about furloughs, layoffs, all sorts of things,
yeah.
Right? And yet... We still have this field hospital out there that hasn't been used. Talk about flushing money down the toilet for just unnecessary maneuvers. And I know that we're not alone in this, having this field
hospital. Well, no, New York was guilty of that for head on. They had all that money they spent reshaping the ships there, remember, that the president sent
in.
Right,
but see, it was backwards.
Arenas.
Yeah, the crazy part was that this field hospital was meant for regular everyday people. The field hospital should have meant for to treat the COVID-19 patients.
So they did it the wrong way. They did it backwards.
I believe so. They did it backwards, and that shut down our hospital.
Erin, are people able to get regular surgery out there now, or elective surgery? Is that available out there or not?
Elective surgery, they say it's available, but I still hear from people that now it's so far backed up. I mean, we're talking about a really bad situation where regular people aren't able to get the care that they need timely. And this is really, I think, COVID has done a lot of damage to long-term health care issues for regular people.
Yeah.
We've seen a higher incidence of suicide rates. In California alone, we've seen an increase in certain counties, anywhere from 13% to 70% increases in the suicide rate up to the age of 34 years old. This is a really serious issue that we have here, that these politicians and the media are playing games with our livelihood. And that's not to mention the businesses. The businesses in our district, we're largely tourists. We have a lot of snowbirds that come down. We have festivals. You know, it's a great place to visit and live and work and play in the 36th Congressional District. And Ruiz and the other politicians keeping our district closed. It's our long-term family businesses that are, you know, restaurants,
right,
storefronts.
Well, let me talk about some of those now.
They're closed.
Okay, all right. Let me talk about some of those specifically.
Right.
And also, let me talk about the fact, let me tell listeners where the 36th District is. It's the Palm Springs area of California. It's to the east, southeast of Los Angeles. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Riverside County, 36th District, is it within Riverside County has a couple of districts within it. The 36th pretty much spans from Cali Mesa and Hemet all the way across to the state line. It hits a little bit of the Salton Sea. It's a really, really dynamic area. We have everything from farms, you know, agricultural farms to, you know, a lot of hotels and industry. We have Idlewild, you know, a lot of tourism in the area. And
Now, Erin, this district could be, I mean, there are a lot of conservatives out there in that area there. I mean, it's one of the areas of California that actually could flip. But one of the problems is
it's a red county, but a blue congressional district.
There you go. There you go. So, I mean, so let's talk about that. So you got to think out loud here. Okay. So how do we appeal back to those values I talked about earlier in the program, California values, but even more so, let's get to the nitty gritty here. In order to win these races, let's be really clear and upfront with everybody. And every listener, American, should know, you need money, greenbacks. You'll have to have money to win these races. Let me just, again, preface that with everybody. Now, here's the problem. As you look at the numbers here, that competitor, Ruiz again, Radical Ruiz, mm-hmm. you say here. So he is got, he's raising lots of money. He's got like a
from
lot of those deep pockets out there.
From, yeah.
But mm-hmm. you're not having the same success up to now as of June 30th. I mean, yours was very small compared to, I mean, he's really raising it, he had big dollars here. He's got a lot of cash on hand as well that you're not having.
Exactly.
So tell me about that. How do you raise more money?
Well, folks out there, go to erincruz.org, erincruz.org, donate, give whatever you can. If you're not able, that's fine too. Here's the thing. Okay, I ran the first recall of Gavin Newsom, and we activated the grassroots up and down the state of California. I did the work for the people, and that recall ended in February, as you know, and then I started really campaigning. March hit and COVID lockdown happened. Bad timing. But here's the thing. We won the March primary because why? Because we had done the work for the people. Our team, our grassroots were strong. We won. Now, as it comes down to this district, I think it's important for people to remember that the last three elections, the one where Radical Raul Ruiz took it, he came in as a grassroots guy, everyday folk, you know, who really cared about the people. As we see now, he's a big time, powerful politician that cares only about special interests, big money, big pharma, big medical, you name it. And I think that he's losing his base. But as it turns out, if you look at the Republican side in the last three elections, there's been big money raised. Kimberlyn Brown raised about $850,000. And then in the past races, there's about, you know, a million and change raised as well. They still weren't able to capture the vote. And what we're seeing here is, I think there's a huge disconnect, folks, that we need money to get out the vote. We do. We need, you know, we have signs now all up and down the freeways. We need to get more billboards and things like that. Yes, we need to have commercials. Yes, we've gotten bids for those. We need to reach the people because as we've seen before, the money doesn't buy this district. It just doesn't.
And did you mention to me you just hired somebody to help with this?
Yes, I did. I did.
Will that make a difference? Will that make the difference?
It will. I think it'll make enough of a difference that we'll be able to get a lot. And then with viewers like yours, we'll be able to get the billboards and other things that we need.
Yeah, because that's what you need to build awareness. Yeah, because it takes. Let me just tell you.
We need that 70,000 no party preference vote. We need the people who say, you know, I'm fed up. I want to see change. I want to see somebody who's going to listen to me and hear what I have to say and take some great ideas to DC mm-hmm. and get to work for us. Because right now they're not seeing that. Okay.
Yeah,
because
it takes more than grassroots. You got to have the money to get that awareness and build the awareness. Now, let me just tell everybody, in 2018, Radical Ruiz received 59% of the vote. Mm-hmm. And he was running against Kimberlyn Brown Pelzer that received 41% back then. So he won it, you know, handsomly, the Democrat did over the
and
Republican.
And she had 850,000.
She had some money then.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. We have to appeal to the everyday voter. I think that's where a good candidate like myself comes in. That, I mean, I've faced a lot of struggles in my life, and God, I believe that God has brought me to this point and in this place where I can serve the people. I understand a lot of different aspects and struggles that people are going through, not just across the country, but in my district. We have you know, a vast population, really diverse, a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds. And I think that that's what we need. And that's what appealed to the people when they hired Ruiz.
Erin, you ran for office before for the Senate, was it?
Yes, I ran for U.S. Senate against Dianne Feinstein.
Good golly. Wow. That's like going up against a brick wall there. Wow.
31 of us ran, and I think I believe I came in fifth. Uh-huh. And it was a large pool.
Well, Dianne Feinstein and, you know, all of these characters out there, these are the people, Kamala Harris and, you know, all of them, Pelosi. I mean, these are the kinds of politicians that leave Washington in a wheelchair, an oxygen tank, or a coffin. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Well, and I want to go to that, if we might, here just for a minute. So as soon as Dianne Feinstein and some of the DCers, you know, the powerful elite heard that I was going to run against Ruiz, they started helping him. They're afraid. They're afraid of what we have. They're afraid of the people who will speak up and call them out and hold them to the wall on the issues. And all of a sudden, after 7 years, 6.5 years at that point, or almost 7 years, doing nothing, we're now seeing Ruiz campaign. This is something that he hasn't done since taking office.
Is that right?
He hasn't campaigned. No, he's done a few, you know, pressers and this and that. But no, now he's campaigning. He actually signed up for one of Pelosi's proxies. You remember those?
Yeah.
Where they're having now somebody vote for them. We have a radical that's voting for Ruiz. He's given away his vote so he can sit in the district. And instead of instead of keeping himself safe from COVID, which is what they allegedly are doing, you know, by signing this proxy, they don't want to be traveling and whatnot. He's out there campaigning instead of doing his job. What he was elected to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really some of the things, there's a lot of challenges. I want to get into a few specifics here, but you know, actually statewide, the COVID business is, they've already flattened the curve in California. I mean, that's been done and then some. I mean, it is definitely.
And in Riverside.
It is definitely on the decline. Let me be very clear. I mean, I've looked at this all just today to get the latest numbers, and it is absolutely, they've done it already. So now you get into, let me get into a few particulars with you now. I'll give you an example. KCRA3, NBC there, has a story out just today. Gym operators launch lawsuit against Newsom. And so these are the gym operators in California. They are exercising their legal rights and launched state lawsuit on Newsom and state health officials for restricting access to workout facilities. And a lot of these places can't afford to stay open anymore, like a lot of the restaurants. I mean, they're going out of business. It's decimating the business community. And so this is one battle that's happening right there with this lawsuit. And there are more industries that are doing this as well.
It's disproportionate here in the district as well, because, you know, Newsom had stated that, well, you could work outside and do your salon work outside. Well, in the 36th Congressional District, much of this area is a desert. It's 120 degrees. You cannot do hair outside. You know, and let's just dial it back a little bit. Right now, they're talking about cases. Folks, what we need to be looking at are the hospitalizations and the death rates. And really, we have flattened the curve that we now know what we're dealing with. The doctors are really good at being able to treat and you know, go after the cases that do move into the hospital setting. And let's open up our businesses, because frankly, people are being thrusted into poverty and reliance on government. And I believe that's what some of these radicals want, and it needs to stop.
It's bad. It's bad. You know, you just hit it head on there, Erin. So, and I've been talking about what you just said and reporting on this pretty heavy over the past couple of weeks with very astute people, MDs that have been on the program. Our listeners know already. So what's happening is this, Erin, as you know, nationally too, and in California as well, what the news does is to keep ginning up the fear. They run all these headlines, very salacious headlines about more cases, and they'll run them and they put the narrative in the headline to make you think, oh my golly, like people are aghast, aghast, like, oh my golly, there's like another 10,000 cases today. Marge, better buckle to lock that front door, that COVID's coming in here, please. I mean, people are in the headlines of fear. And, you know, this is actually good news, Erin, because the more cases we have and that people are not dying is a beautiful thing. It means that we've got the herd immunity, and by golly, we got victory. I mean, what don't you understand about that, man?
Right.
You know?
And Ruiz went on the television just the other day, Biden's wife, Dr. Jill Biden, was on a panel with him, and they were talking all this fear, you know, the Latino community and how you get such an increased rate. And we're not talking about hospitalizations and ICU patients. We're talking in general. And they are hitting on that fear. And I think the people are waking up. They're seeing people at restaurants outdoors. They're seeing people, you know, walking around, you know, in stores and other things. And the more and more that they're looking around, they're realizing, wait, do I even know anybody who's passed away from COVID? Wait, you know, maybe this is more like the flu than we thought, you know, and that they've got a handle on treating the people who get even sicker than just normally. And I think that the people are now realizing that many of them have lost everything for what now has turned out to be a sham by the political left, who are radicals who just want to keep us down and have us reliant on government. It's gone past the point of being balanced in our approach. And we're seeing that certainly with places like the Dakotas, you know, where you don't even have any restrictions at all, and other foreign nations who didn't even keep their kids out of school. And here they want to keep our kids on lockdown, you know, and all of these kinds of things. And the folks at home are waking up. The more Ruiz goes on TV, the better our polling does. And I think that the people are tired of fear. They don't want to live in fear. They want self-reliance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want government to move out of the way, and they want to live their lives.
Can you win this race?
Yes.
What will it take?
It's going to take the people getting out the vote in the church, and it's going to take folks like yours who are listening, donating just a touch more funding so we can get out on the billboards and reach those no party preference. And, you know, people speaking the truth to people that they know who live in California in the 36th district, because it seems like even across the country, people know people who live in California, and people may know people who live in the 36th, and they need to get out that vote.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Keep connecting, folks. Yeah. Keep connecting.
Well, that's where it starts right there here. We're speaking with Erin Cruz again, running for Congress in the District 36 there in the Palm Springs, Riverside County area there, just the east, southeast of Los Angeles. It's an area that could very well be red and could shift here. As she suggested, it's been that way prior, but there's blue representation there now. But, you know, again, it's got to come back to the people here. And a lot of these values we talk about, again, California values, American values, you know, people to identify those. Interesting story in the Los Angeles Times I want to talk about today about crime today as well. Interesting. And some of the grocery stores that are speaking out pretty loudly about it and don't like what's going on in regards to crime. That's another thing to bring to people's attention, especially when we talk about values, because the crime element is rising out there very clearly. And it really comes back to these policies that these politicians are putting out there. Again, what does it take, people? It takes people. The people have to want change. They have to want change bad enough that they're willing to get out there and push for that change and vote accordingly. All comes back to representative government now, doesn't it? You know, you scratch your head sometimes and you wonder, I know, I do it as well. Like, what are they thinking? You know, why would you keep putting in a Feinstein into office or a Pelosi into office or, you know, or a radical Ruiz into office? Why would you do that? You know, it's a fairy tale kind of operation, isn't it now, politics? Yeah. We'll take a quick pause here on The Voice of a Nation. We'll be back with Erin Cruz in just a moment. It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
What do they say? One step forward for mankind. You got to keep continue one step forward, right? Well, let me give you again. Erin Cruz, again, running for the U.S. House candidate in District 36 in California. The website is Erin Cruz, Erin Cruz, C-R-U-Z, .org. And you can put /donate or just hit the donate button and help her out. this is kind of a thing where every little bit helps, where you've got to be able to push the envelope forward. And it does happen with support and dollars. She's going to need those dollars to be able to, as she said, get those billboards out and do those kinds of things to be able to have that victory. Now, she's got some work to do, and she knows that in the next couple of months. It's going to be pretty strong. I mean, it's going to have to be a strong finish to the finish line for a lot of these races if there's going to be success there, for sure. One of the stories I want to talk about now, Aaron, is in the Los Angeles Times. I mentioned Proposition 20 was launched and financed primarily by law enforcement groups. Grocery outlets served as early partners in an effort. And what they're trying to do, they're saying they're, the crime element, and these are stores like Albertsons and Kroger's and the California Groceries Association. These are the biggest financial contributions to Proposition 20. And they say, you know, and this gets into even things like shoplifting and organized retail crime, and they're losing big money. So, but it's, again, it's the crime element here. What do you think about this?
And it's a trend of lawlessness. And I think that it was in an effort to try to minimize, you know, petty theft and that kind of thing. Those people, you know, clogging up, if you will, this is the left speaking, I believe, the judicial system, as well as our prisons, our jails. But the problem is this, is that, you know, you're seeing that these major retailers aren't the only ones hit. It's a lot of the ma and pa stores who've been hit especially hard. And then now that we've been in this situation with the lockdown and COVID, people are desperate, people are hungry, they're, you know, not going to the food banks, they're instead stealing from stores. But the other thing is they're not just stealing food to eat, they're taking other types of items. And I think the point here would be, what are we trying to encourage in our country and in California? We need to encourage, you know, the values basis, which is, you know, self-reliance, self-respect in getting a job, earning money, paying your own way, and taking from somebody else. That whole ideology is just wrong. And then also encouraging this of the younger generations, as we've seen with the rioting and the looting, most recently with the outbreaks here in California, violence, it's compounding with interest, and it's literally hurting our retail industries and service industries hard. And we can't continue forward. I think that the general consensus with the population is they're fed up. They're tired. You know, the regular people are tired of working very hard to be able to fund the lawlessness and fund the revolving door of people who want to take from the system.
Well, they're looking for a free ride. They're looking for a free ride. But that, in essence, Aaron, is the entryway to socialism. It's a two-class system, the elites and everybody else, you see?
Right.
And that's what you've got going on there.
It's another way to break down the system. It is. Yeah. And it needs to stop.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned early on about the evangelical Christian vote. And let me remind everybody, and you talked about that a couple of times, because I believe you've been talking to different churches out there and speaking to them and so on and so forth. But, you know, what's interesting about this, there are a lot of people who are on the sidelines who are not involved in the game. And I'll give you an example. With Christian voters, there are 40 million conservative Christian voters that are not voting.
They need to vote, every single one of them. And if they don't know how to vote, they need to contact conservative values organizations, like in California, that would be Craig Huey. Look at his recommendations and weigh it against other recommendations, and really read about the candidates and call the candidates and ask questions. You can't sit on the sidelines any longer if your pastor isn't talking about the issues, because he says he doesn't want to get political, because he doesn't want to lose his 501c3 status. Tell him enough is enough, that the political issues are really moral issues, and that he should be, or she should be, talking about those moral issues with the church, and helping the church understand what's really going on right now, because we are at a turning point. We are at a fork in the road, and we can no longer be silent.
Well,
so the people at church, make sure that if you are a voter and you're voting in this next election, ask your friends, Call your friends up, talk to them, encourage them to sign up, register to vote, and to vote conservative, vote their values.
It's a good message. You know, Aaron, I'll answer back to you. When you talk about the fork in the road, I'm going to suggest to you, when you're out there talking to people, some people might reference this race in 2020 as a fork in the road, but you know, there's another way to look at this, Aaron, and that is that there is a cliff. This is more than a fork at this point. Yes. There's a cliff. And if we don't go this other path here and begin to bring on more conservative American constitutional values, then we're liable to go right off the cliff in California. Isn't that the big message?
Yes, that is true. And like I said earlier, if you're afraid to put a sign on your lawn out of, you know, intimidation by your neighbors or fear of property damage, really think about that. Really think about how far your country has gone from what you want to see and decide, are you going to take a stand? Are you going to be bold? Because now is not the time to be timid. Now is the time to be out there with what you believe in and talk to your neighbors. And again, when they talk to their neighbors, it's important, folks, I'm going to just talk to your listenership right now. Talk about what's going on in your friends or your family's lives. Listen to what's going on and then hear where they're coming from. And then when you hear common issues that hit on political topics, you can bring up, you know, some solutions and bring up some different individuals that maybe they could vote for and to shift the tide, and do so in a way with an open heart. And if they're combative, just let it go, but plant the seeds. Don't, you know, I'm saying right now, everybody, when it comes to Thanksgiving, Christmas, different holidays, this is not the time to put aside religion and politics. This is definitely the time where you need to sit down and talk about the issues. And right now, that's every day up until Election Day. But even continuing on past November, these are the issues we need to be talking about on a day-to-day basis with those we love, because these things matter. Yeah. The elections matter. Our values matter.
Yeah, there it is. There's the voice of Erin Cruz, and she is running again, District 36 for the House candidate there in California here. I like her message there just now. It's a very compelling message. Now, her website again, Erin Cruz, C-R-U-Z, .org. You know, she's got there's a brightness to Erin's message and a directness and a concern. You can hear the concern in her voice as well, and the passion for what she is. So these are all good values. You hear her talk about the values. Again, that's where you have to align yourself out there with what sort of political leaders are you looking. You need people like us that will represent us, that want those same kind of values. And that really has got to be the essence here. 2020 is a momentous election for a lot of reasons. Each election is an important election. Every election of our lifetime is the most important one. In fact, I would answer that question to a lot of people. They say, well, this next one is the most important one. Every election we have moving forward is the most important one of our lifetime. It's the last one that just happened. And this one coming is the next most important one. And the one after that will also be the next important one. So you get the picture. We all have an obligation. We have an obligation to stand up for the rule of law. We have an obligation to stand up for American values. We have an obligation to stand up for our Constitution. That's what makes America great. That is what America is all about. And we need representation like that from sea to shining sea who will represent that. Now, she's also been endorsed by a lot of interesting people. And you can see this message right on her website, the various people that she's been endorsed. But let me mention as well, she's been endorsed by my own co-host and partner here, Michael Johns, who is the co-founder of the Tea Party. And of course, Erin calls herself a Tea Party Republican. So there you go. There's a matchup there. And let me also tell you that beyond the voice of a nation here, I want to invite you now to Viewpoint, since I'm just mentioning Michael here. Now, Viewpoint Presents is the new program on the weekend. You'll hear Michael and myself there on Sundays. You catch Viewpoint this Sunday at 10 a.m. Be with us every Sunday. Plan 2 hours, have some coffee, enjoy, and get up to the latest of what's going on. Very informative program. Viewpoint this Sunday, 10 a.m. Viewpoint Presents with Michael will be on every week and on Sundays at 11 a.m. It's the best in talk radio you're going to hear in our nation. And again, Viewpoint is the way to go. Catch us all on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Again, iHeartRadio, Apple, Android, Alexa apps. There are so many ways to listen. All the shows go to podcast that afternoon as well. On my show, The Voice of a Nation, we'll catch you every weekday here, my fellow Americans, at 6 p.m. And I thank you very much for being part of the journey here. And remember, it's time to get involved and get loud.